The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Ibrahim Kwaten.
In the headlines, Chief Executive of Chamber of Mines calls for national debate over utilization of mineral resources to reduce conflict in mining communities. Government to set up permanent national pilgrimage board to address challenges of pilgrims. Government asked to institute investigations into alleged hijacking of Primix fuel by some fishermen. Hearing on whether to prosecute former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo takes place today. And British government to deploy soldiers in Mali to carry out infantry and artillery training. At first, the summary with Ibrahim Kwaten.
Research has shown that only 5% of revenue generated from mining areas is invested in the localities, while the rest is spent in Accra. To this end, the chief executive of the Ghana Chamber of Mines, Dr. Tony Albin, has called for a national debate on the utilization of mineral resources to reduce conflicts in mining areas. Mr. Albin was speaking at a stakeholder forum to discuss a research finding on conflict prevention and peace building in mining communities in Kumasi. Government says it plans to set up a national pilgrimage board to address challenges associated with the organization of the annual pilgrimage. The board, which will be made up of people with expertise, will permanently take over the duties of the National Hajj Committee. President Mahama announced this when a delegation of Muslim chiefs called on him at the Flagstaff House in Accra. Former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo will appear before the International Criminal Court today for hearing on whether prosecutors have enough evidence to try him. The charges against the former president stem from murder and rape allegedly committed by his supporters in 2010 as he tried to cling to power following disputed presidential election results. Gbagbo insists he is innocent. And the British government says it will be deploying soldiers in Mali for up to 15 months to carry out infantry and artillery training. This is in support of Malian troops fighting Islamist extremists. Defense Secretary Philip Hammond said the UK will also contribute 40 personnel to an EU training mission due to start in spring.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news now in detail. The chief executive of the Ghana Chamber of Mines, Dr. Tony Albin, has called for a national debate over the utilization of mineral resources to reduce conflicts in mining areas. According to him, research indicates that only 5% of revenue generated from mining areas is invested in the localities, while the rest is spent in Accra. Dr. Albin said the situation is different in other mining countries such as Brazil, where over 60% mineral revenue accrued goes back to the communities to make life better and meaningful. The chief executive was speaking at a joint stakeholder forum to discuss a research finding on conflict prevention and peace building in mining communities, an assessment of conflict and risks, triggers in extractive communities in Ghana and in Kumasi. Correspondent Thomas Nsueji found this report.
The research was conducted by the Center for African Elections Media Monitoring Index and supported by the Canada Fund for Local Initiatives. The research covered some selected mining areas in Ashanti and Northern regions. The chief executive of the Ghana Chamber of Mines, Dr. Obin, said most conflicts are generated in mining communities because the people believe they have been cheated in the distribution of social services and infrastructure such as roads, medical facility and shelter, lack of transparency and adequate consultations between mining companies and the local communities over the operations of mining have also counted for the frequent outbreak of law and order. Dr. Obin therefore called on government to always engage the people and stop raising their expectations only to be disappointed at the end of the day. An official at the Minerals Commission, George Ahaji, admits that while mining generates revenue, it has also been the source of communal violence leading to the loss of life and property. He disclosed that last year, over 35 reported cases of conflict were recorded in mining communities, out of which 18 were from the Western region, while 16 came from Ashanti. Mr. Haji said some of the cases were settled amicably, while others are still pending in court. The executive director of the Center for African Elections Media Monitoring Index, Dr. Misan Magbe, said the findings revealed there are strong conflict triggered linked to illegal mining in the northern, upper, East and Upper West, Bono Ahafo, Ashanti, Eastern and Western regions. The causes are traced to who has the legitimate right to mine, complete neglect of local communities in disbursing the resource, and failure by companies to recruit employees from their areas of operations.
Thomas Nsumwe filed that report.
Government plans to set up a national pilgrimage board to permanently take over the duties of the National Hajj Committee. The board will be made up of people with high expertise who would come up with a workable solution to bring to an end persistent challenges that face the organization of the annual pilgrimage. President Mahama, who announced this at the Flagstaff House in Accra when a delegation of Muslim chiefs called on him, said the dissolution of the Hajj Committee was not due to incompetence, but a bid to restructure it. Also at the Flagstaff House were members of the Peter Cardinal Derry Foundation to inform the president of the 5th anniversary of his death and efforts to declare him a saint. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
There were two groups, one from the office of the chief Imam Sheikh Nuhu Shaributu and the other from the National Council of Zongo Chiefs. They congratulated the president on his election and inauguration. They took the opportunity to inform President Mahama of some challenges facing their communities. The chief Imam's speech was read by his spokesperson, Ahaji Gado Mohammed. He evoked the blessings of Allah on the reign of the president as he shepherds the whole country. The chief Imam drew the president's attention to the challenges of secular education in Zongo communities and the lack of jobs. This he attributed to the riot nature of some Zongo youth as the devil finds work for the idle hand. The chiefs believe education is the key to development in the Zongo communities.
The issue of health, which determines our people in the Zongos. Literacy, particularly secular education, which we consider as very, very important. We would like good attention to be placed on them for our people and perhaps for the entire people of Ghana. We also wish to draw attention to the issues of employment. Our youth tend to misbehave and a lot of problems due to unemployment. But we want to believe that because of the lack of secular education, we tend to feel the pinch more.
President Mahama thanked the chiefs for the continuing peace. He said government appreciates the importance of education in human resource development, but alongside this should be the acquisition of skills training to provide the youth with long-term livelihood. President Mahama also announced that the West African Examination Council has agreed to government's request to make Arabic an examinable subject. He also hinted that plans to undertake an urban renewal program to raise the standard of slums and rural settlements will be carried out.
Another area we should exploit is to get youth to take advantage of the skills training that government has given. We've introduced a lot of skills training under CODBET, under LESDEP, under so many of these programs. And they teach auto mechanics, they teach welding, they teach plumbing. And so I'll ask the Council of Muslim Chiefs and our fathers, the chief imams, to encourage our youth to also take advantage of this program.
Members of the Peter Cardinal Derry Foundation also called on the president to inform him on the 5th anniversary of his death and the official launch of the foundation on June 15th. The late Peter Cardinal Derry was born on May 10, 1918 and died on March 6, 2008. The leader of the delegation, who is the Archbishop of Tamale, Most Reverend Philip Name, said the foundation has decided to apply to Rome for the beatification process to declare Peter Cardinal Derry a saint.
In the Catholic Church, one would like to start a process to have someone who has lived a very holy life be accepted by the Universal Church as a saint. You have to wait till he is more than 5 years there to be sure that you are not bringing in unnecessary emotions before the application is made. And that is one of the occasions that we want to inform you about. On the 14th and 15th of June, we would like to have a very official launching of the Cardinal Derry Foundation. And on the 15th also, we would like to begin a formal process to apply to the Holy Father to declare him a saint if he sees fit.
President Mahama reiterated his childhood encounter with the late Peter Cardinal Derry when he was Bishop of Damongo. He noted that his attributes are acclaimed worldwide and government supports the beatification process to make him a saint.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
Also at the Flagstaff House to call on the president was the National Fishermen Council of Ghana. on behalf of the team, a member of the council, Nana Salomon, brought to the attention of the president the hijacking of premium fuel by an alleged cartel operating within the western and central regions. He urged the government to immediately institute investigations into the matter. Nana Salomon also urged the government to allow the National Fishermen's Council to handle the distribution of fish inputs, particularly outboard motors, which is currently being done by Maslok.
The premise, I would like to see, has been hijacked by a cartel, and I believe that if you ask the security to go into it, especially in the western and the central regions, it's so bad that the fishermen front is divided since the past 4 years, and they are still doing it. Again, with Maslok, for 31 years now, it has been our tradition that fishing inputs, even including the premix, has been handled by the Ghana National Canoe Fishermen Council, because we know every landing beach and how many canoes and those who need outboard motors. It's every chief fisherman, every canoe owner or ordinary fisherman is an automatic member of the council. The council's authority has waned over the past, and therefore we are looking that sanity will turn to the council and to our landing beaches.
President Mahama assured them of immediate response to the petition presented. He said government has lots of plans for fishermen, like the building of landing sites and storage facilities.
In the recent price increase, premix still remains unchanged. But if you look at the subsidies on these products, the subsidy on premix is the biggest. The fishermen pay only 12% of the price. Government subsidizes 88% of the price. And the total subsidy, you know, on premix alone amounts to some almost 150 million Ghana cedis a year. We do this so that the product can get directly to those who need it and those who use it. Unfortunately, over the years, because of the huge subsidy on it, the process is always abused, because then people who want to divert it and adulterate it with petrol and sell it for other uses also are lurking around the corner and trying to lay their hands on the product. And so the decision was taken that the premix should be handled by the fishermen themselves. Let the fishermen be responsible for distributing the premix, because they know who their members are. And so that has been the policy we've been pursuing. But that will be one of the charges the new minister will take up, to see what the distribution chain of premix is and to make sure that the premix is getting to those who we intended for.
President John Mahama.
Still at the presidency, President John Mahama has nominated a member of parliament for Karachi West, Madam Helen Adjoantoso, as the Volta Regional Minister Designate. A statement by the Executive Secretary to the President, Dr. Raymond Atuguba, said, in accordance with Article 2561 of the Constitution, President John Dramani Mahama has nominated for the consideration of Parliament Helen Adjoantoso as the Regional Minister Designate for the Volta region.
Vice President Barclays Emisa Arthur has urged the NDC caucus in Parliament to stay focused and work hard towards delivering the NDC manifesto. He said their hard work would make them visible in the long run and congratulated them on their electoral victory. Addressing the caucus at a workshop in Kufobia, Vice President Emisa Arthur recognized the daunting challenges facing MPs and assured them that government is working diligently to address them. He was happy that work is progressing speedily on the office accommodation for MPs and expressed optimism that the facility known as Job 600 will be ready soon for the use of MPs. He underscored the need to build and strengthen a harmonious relation between the executive and the MPs. In view of this, Vice President Mr. Arthur suggested the appointment of a liaison person at the presidency to act as a contact between the executive and the legislators. He observed that as members of the ruling party, some crucial decisions taken by government, particularly within the first half of its tenure, may make them unpopular, but advised the MPs to stay committed and collaborate with the executive towards the fulfillment of the government's pledge of advancing the Better Ghana agenda begun by the late president's Professor Atta Mills.
The First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, has donated 100 RLG branded computers to her alma mater, Ghana Senior High School, Ganasco in Tamale, to assist in the development of ICT. She also presented 250 pieces of exercise books and 17 jotters to the school. The caretaker Northern Regional Minister Moses Buka Rimabengba, who donated the items on behalf of the First Lady, said the items were supposed to be donated last year, but due to the elections, it was shifted to this year. The minister also made a personal cash donation of 1,500 Ghana cedis to the school, out of which 1,000 Ghana cedis is meant for the best mathematics students in the next Peach and Prize Giving Day, while the remaining 500 Ghana cedis is to motivate the school for emerging first in the just ended inter-schools athletics. The headmistress of Ghana School, Mary Asobaire Dan Brimer, commended the first lady and said her gesture will help in promoting quality education in the school.
Former President John Ezekum Kufo, chairman of the John A. Kufo Foundation, has appointed Professor Alice Dodu, a pharmacist, as acting chief executive officer of the foundation. Professor Dodu is a director of the World Health Organization Collaborating Center for Advocacy and Training in Pharmacovigilance at the University of Ghana, Legon. His appointment took effect from January 1 this year. Professor Dodu assured the former president and the foundation's board of his total commitment to the job. Professor Dodu's meeting assignment is to coordinate the second J.A. Kufo lectures, which would be delivered by Dr. Ngozi Uweala Okonjo, Finance Minister of Nigeria and Coordinating Minister of the Nigerian Economy, from Friday, February 22nd to Saturday, February 23. This forms part of the Foundation's Global Development Series on Democratic Governance.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Chief Executive of Chamber of Mines calls for national debate over utilization of mineral resources to reduce conflict in mining communities. Government to set up a permanent national pilgrimage board to address challenges of pilgrims. Government asks the institute investigations into alleged hijacking of pre-mixed fuel by some fishermen. Hearing on whether to prosecute former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo takes place today. And British government to deploy soldiers in Mali to carry out infantry and artillery training. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Welcome back. The Ghana Association of Writers, in collaboration with the Ghana Education Service, has relaunched the Ghana Association of Writers School Outreach Program in Hull. The program seeks to inculcate into and improve upon the habit of reading and writing among students nationwide. The president of the Association of Writers, Kwesi Janapinting, said the decline in reading among students has contributed to the falling standard in the English language. Correspondents Rejoice Ejiani and Gabriel Amuzu have filed this report.
The president of Ghana Association of Writers, Kwesi Janapinting, described the decline in reading in schools over 30 years as alarming. He stressed that it is important to improve on the fallen standard in English language and also restore the culture of reading in order to unearth hidden literary talent among students. In a speech read on his behalf, the Home Municipal Chief Executive, Isaac Kodobisa, said poor writing and reading habits are the major factors contributing to the abysmal performance of students at senior high school and junior high school levels. He expressed the hope that the reading and writing program among students will help arrest the fallen standards of education in the region. He advised students to rekindle the spirit of reading and writing to enable them to improve on their academic performance. Mr. Kodobisa called on government to provide the necessary teaching and learning materials and a conducive environment for desirable results. The Volta Regional Director of Education, Emmanuel Keteku, described reading and writing in the 21st century as an essential part of everyday life.
A report by correspondents Rejoice Ijiani and Gabriel Amuzu.
And now moving on, the Ghana Institution of Surveyors is calling for massive urban renewal processes. These include ridding cities of undesirable elements like slums, traffic congestion, old and dilapidated buildings in the city center, and improper siting of markets and lorry parks. This follows the current problem of urban decay as a result of poor planning of major towns and cities impeding sustainable growth and a healthy living environment. The president of the institution, Daniel Kofichere, made a call at a media briefing to officially launch the 8th Surveyors Weekend for the 4th Annual General Meeting in Accra. Baba Otu has the details.
This year's Surveyors Week is on the scene
green, urban renewal and sustainable redevelopment of our cities, the surveyor's perspective. Surveyor Tre said as countries reviewed their performance on the basis of the Millennium Development Goals, urban renewal strategies are important to enhance neighborhoods and make them more congenial for habitation and conduct of human activities.
Urban renewal involves a strategy or carefully planned activities to enhance the neighborhoods and make it more congenial for habitation and conduct of human activities. The process may occasion relocation of business, the demolition of structures, the relocation of people, and the use of eminent domain, that is government purchase of property for public purpose, as a legal instrument to take private property for city-initiated development projects. Poor planning has remained the archival seals of our major towns and cities, impeding both sustainable growth and healthy living environment for an increasing population of our urban dwellers. As the world reviews its performance to date on the Millennium Development Goals, evidence shows that effective urban planning and sustainable cities can make a critical contribution, and the need to address the challenges by embarking on a massive urban renewal process to rid our cities of all the undesirable elements such as slums, traffic congestion, old and dilapidated buildings in the city and center, and improper siting of services such as market and lorry park, and thereby creating the enabling environment for the sustainability of our development.
On some incompetencies and shoddy deals concerning town planning and infrastructure development, often blamed on surveyors, the institution's president said most of these problems are caused by unqualified persons parading themselves as surveyors due to the absence of an effective legislation regulating the surveying practice in Ghana. He therefore appealed to government to speed up the passage of the Survey Council and Estate Bills currently before Parliament. He said the bills, when passed, will effectively define the legal framework and parameters of the profession.
Baba Otu reporting.
Meanwhile, the past president of the Ghana Institution of Surveyors, Surveyor Kojose Asante, has attributed the rampant accidents on the N1 highway to lack of education and budgetary constraint in construction of the road. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Surveyor Asante explained that originally the design of N1 was supposed to be a highway but was later changed to a motorway due to lack of funds.
Excessive noise is one of the environmental hazards governments the world over grapple with. Noise making is therefore outlawed according to the International Environmental Convention. But in some African countries, especially Ghana, noise making is ignored. Churches in the center of communities are the most offenders. In Accra last week, the AMA demolished one of such churches in the city. Meanwhile, the situation is endemic all over the country. One of such cases is at Damfa in the Ga East constituency. Residents cannot sleep because of the loud noise caused by two churches, the Covenant Family Witness Chapel International and Christ Kingdom Salvation Pentecostal Church. The assistant head pastor Samuel Butri has denied that the noise level is high. However, the spokesperson of the resident, Louise Pew Dragon, told Radio Ghana that the ordeal they pass through daily and is enormous.
The communication director of the Ministry of Energy, Edward Bauer, has been explaining the considerations that went into the calculation of the petroleum price increase. Mr. Bauer said it is not a happy decision for any government to increase fuel prices because of the rippling effect on the economy. Speaking to Radio Ghana on the need for the price review, Mr. Bauer said the projections are in the interest of the state.
It's a bitter pill the government has to take it back. It has to be for the good of Ghanaians generally in the longer period. And so, yes, we do know that there will be hardships. We do know that there could be some economic implications to this, but the alternatives will not be the best way to go.
So how come the opposition experts are saying that government was not paying any subsidies at all?
I am unable to answer why they were saying that. I think that in listening to some of them indicate that they want to see figures. It is one thing not accepting the figures, and another thing not having the figures at all. We have the figures, and the figures seem to suggest that this is the way we are doing it. But one of the things you need to ask yourself, the last time we increased fuel prices in Ghana was in December 2011. And at that time, we pegged the export price based on international crude price of $107 per barrel. After the time we're increasing the fuel prices on Sunday morning, the international crude price was $119 per barrel. What it then means is that if yes, that we have for the export price, we should put at $116. It means that we're even still going to be paying subsidies on the current products that we have. If you were to look at even the current prices that we have put there are subsidies that are still even on the current products that we have put there. The only thing government has done is the government has decided to reduce the level of subsidies, make it sustainable. Because if you are paying 1.2 billion only on subsidy, and your total oil revenue as a country, based on what the Bank of Ghana told us last week, is 540 million, it means that the subsidy has consumed oil revenue, and you even need an extra in excess of 600 million to add to pay subsidy. Meanwhile, it's the same money that you will need for hospitals, for roads, for infrastructure, and what have you. So government felt that it was only proper that we reduce these subsidies to a level that is manageable. So in the next 2 weeks, in terms of under recoveries, I'm talking of in terms of subsidies the government will be paying, we'll be paying 23.2 billion. And the projection is that by the end of the year, we'll still be paying a total subsidy of about 350 million Ghana cedis. So yes, government knows that this is a very difficult thing, but the alternative is a no-go area.
Communications Director of the Ministry of Energy, Edward Bauer.
Still on fuel price increase, reports from Kumasi indicate that contrary to previous situations where there were confrontations among transport operators and passengers at lorry terminals in the metropolis anytime new prices of petroleum products were announced by government,
the increase in fuel and gas prices is attracting more reactions from a cross-section of the public, while some complain about the adverse effect on productivity, others think otherwise. Our reporters of Ayakoko visited some fuel stations and transport terminals in Accra in the south of this report.
Fuel attendants at Adabaka Liberty Avenue Coal Station in Accra, AP Oil and Gas Station, and Carnation Shell Station say the increase in fuel and gas prices is not affecting productivity since the situation is still developing. However, the chairman of the Carnation NST Taxi Rank expressed worry about the unilateral increases in transport fares by some drivers. According to him, such drivers were going contrary to their rules.
Here at the moment, we haven't talked to the list. So we are taking the old fare. As for friends here, we are taking the old fare. But there are other people that have around. Well, some of the drivers are saying that they heard in the news that they have increased the fuel prices. But actually, they haven't added what they have to take from the passengers.
So when is GPRC supposed to be?
Normally, it takes a week. It can be next week. Mm.
So until the GPRC brings out the prices, the drivers are not supposed to increase their fares.
Mm.
Okay, that is what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they have to wait so that they will bring the prices from the head office, but not through the union.
So what do you do to such drivers who are
see, some of them are floating. If I say floating, they don't have patience. So the normal tips what they will take from the passenger. But so far as we are union, we have organized ourselves at the top. So then this morning that no one should increase it until they drop the list for the price.
On the other hand, the first trustee of the Carnation Kumasi GPRT station, Kwame Intida Kwakwa, said even though the authorized fares have not been released to them, they have increased their fares, meaning that vehicle owners have already increased their fares and the cost of maintenance.
So far, Coco found that report.
The first truck high court in Accra has sentenced two young soldiers to 30 years imprisonment in hard labor for their role in the death of former Northern Regional CPP chairman Alhaji Issa Mobila. The soldiers, Corporal Yao Apia and Private Seth Goka, were found guilty of manslaughter by the jury and were convicted accordingly by the court. Corporal Yao Apia begins a 10-year incarceration today, while Private Seth Goka, who has been on the run since the beginning of the trial, will at any time of his apprehension serve a 20-year jail term.
In foreign news, hearing on whether prosecutors have enough evidence to merit putting former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo on trial will take place today at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. The charges against Gbagbo stem from murder and rape allegedly committed by his supporters in 2010 as he tried to cling to power following disputed presidential election. Gbagbo insists he is innocent.
The British government says it will be deploying soldiers in Mali for up to 15 months to carry out infantry and artillery training. Defense Secretary Philip Hammond said the UK will contribute 40 personnel to a EU training mission due to start in spring. This is in support of Malian troops fighting Islamist extremists.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The chief executive of the Ghana Chamber of Mines, Dr. Tony Obin, has called for a national debate over the utilization of mineral resources to reduce conflicts in mining areas. The chief executive officer was speaking at a joint stakeholder forum to discuss a research finding on conflict prevention and peace building in mining communities in Kumasi. Government is to set up a national pilgrimage board to permanently take over the duties of the National Hajj Committee. President Mahama announced this at the Flagstaff House in Accra when a delegation of Muslim chiefs called on him. He said the dissolution of the Hajj Committee was not due to incompetence, but a bid to restructure it. And former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo is to appear in a pretrial today at the International Criminal Court hearing in Son, whether prosecutions have enough evidence to try him. He is being charged with post-election violence in Cote d'Ivoire in 2010. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Ibrahim Kwatin in Accra.